up, everyone, and welcome back to Hot Take, where I, along with my co-hosts Nat and Lawrence, give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. It's been a few days since we last met. Actually, it's been almost about a week, close to a week. A lot of big things happening. Before we jump into it, Nat, Lawrence, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you, Lawrence?
I'm doing well, doing well.
So the first thing I want to talk about, probably the biggest news, we're recording this Friday morning. It's 10:27. News broke out maybe about an hour and a half or so ago, that Kemba Walker has now been traded to Oklahoma City for, and along with a second round or like a pick along, and in return, the Celtics are going to get Al Horford and Moses Brown, as well as a future pick. My first question is, what is your guys' initial reaction to learning that Brad Stevens has now traded Kemba Walker?
I guess no faith in Kemba Walker after this first season with him along. Granted, he had in the injury bug and unfortunate season. It's just sad to see him leave and sad to see them give up on him so quickly after they had so much faith in him and how much promise he had coming into the season.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, like Kemba, like you said in previous podcasts, cannot play back-to-backs. He's just been a liability these past, you know, seasons or two, I believe. But hey, I mean, they get Al Horford back. They have a PG slot open for the free agents coming up, whoever that might be, Lonzo. you know, it's going to be fun for Boston to search and to find their new point guard to be alongside Tatum and Brown, because that's going to be a good combination, those three. So see who this new point guard could be.
Well, what I like about this trade in, you know, regards to the Celtics side is the fact that they're getting Moses Brown. I feel like Moses Brown has a lot of upside as a nice young big man, which they need another big man. I mean, Time Lord is good, but I, who knows? Maybe this is the time that they give Time Lord the reins to kind of, you know, make it to that starting lineup. You have Moses Brown, a nice big man coming off the bench. A lot of young talent there. You have Al Horford, who I think is going to provide that veteran leadership in the locker room, which we talked about this all, like almost all season long in regards to the Celtics. It's like they didn't have a voice. They didn't know who they were. They didn't have an identity. They would let teams, players walk all over them. At the end of games, they're bro-hugging Kyrie Irving. You know what I mean? I feel like with Al Horford there, there's not going to be so much more of that. I'm glad you brought up the point guard situation, because Lawrence, let me ask you. We have upcoming free agents this season. Just to name a few, we have PG. We have Chris Paul, Mike Conley, Kyle Lowry, Goran Dragic, Dennis Schroeder, Patty Mills, Spencer Dinwiddie. I think that's an interesting one. Lonzo Ball, as Nat, you know, mentioned not so discreetly. Derrick Rose, bring back Avery Bradley, perhaps. Lawrence, your two boys, Alfred Payton, Frank Ntilikina. You know, there's Reggie Jackson. Maybe bring back Brad Wanamaker. I don't know. Is there anybody from the names I just mentioned that kind of pique your interest for the Boston Celtics side?
I mean, I like Kyle Lowry, but I want him to go to the Knicks. Kyle Lowry and DeRozan, a little reunion there. But
that's funny, because I think Nat wants him to go to the Lakers.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Which is really funny, because I don't know what to tell both of you, but he's coming to Miami. So
okay. Ooh.
I know where this is going.
The same talk with every free agent. Literally every free agent.
He culture, baby. He culture. Nat, what about you? Any of those names kind of pique your interest?
Honestly, if Chris Paul keeps this thing up of going to a different team every season and just making them better, maybe even Chris Paul might bring him to the conference finals again. Who knows? You know, I like to see him like kind of take Tatum under his wing, even though they're different players. But like, you know, as like a leader for that team, because, you know, he declined that Suns player option, I believe. So maybe he wants something new next season, and being in the East with those guys might be different for him. So,
and going to the East gives him the higher chance of making it to the finals. I mean, he's more likely than not, you know, we'll get into Chris Paul in a little bit, but that's an interesting take, Chris Paul. I feel like I was thinking long and hard about Goran Dragic. I feel like I know you guys are making faces, but like he's a solid player. He's smart. He has a high IQ. He can run the offense. He can create his own offense. Yes, he's older. He's got a bum knee. Maybe bring him as like a backup, you know, coming off the bench. I mean, that's
you don't want him on Miami anymore. Now.
I would love to keep him in Miami, but I also have to think, you know, if we're trying to progress, you know, we have to. I was really like ride or die with this Miami team this year, and they just left me so heartbroken and made me realize that we need to make serious upgrades at all positions. As much as I love Goran, I would love to keep him as a backup. But I mean, like, I'm just thinking, you know, he's a free agent. Boston needs somebody who is feisty, somebody that's a veteran, somebody that can run the offense. I think Goran would be a good fit in Boston. I don't know. If he wants to stay in Miami, by all means, I'm all for it. I'll gladly take him.
That was quite passive. You were like, oh, Goran is so good, but we don't want him. You know, Boston can have him, you know?
No, I was just saying. I was just talking, you know, different theories, different possibilities, okay. You know? Of course I want to keep Dragic. He's a Heat culture guy. You know what I mean? I'm all about it. The next thing I wanted to get into, aside from the Kemba Walker break, actually, let's look at it from the OKC side, because we talked about the Boston side. Is there any benefit of doing this for the Thunder, Lawrence?
I mean, I guess they get a star. I mean, I guess you could call him a star. They're losing Al Horford, which is big. I mean, they're not losing any of the 50 picks that they have. They've accumulated over the past couple of trades. But I mean, I don't think they're really looking. I think they're looking to build in the draft again with Sam Presti, that mastermind over there in OKC. I think they get rid of cap space. They can maybe sign a player, but I don't know. Like I said, they're going to look to build through the draft.
I think they're going to move Kemba. No, like isn't that his plan? Like Presti did it with Al Horford, with Chris Paul too. They might move Kemba to get maybe a Porzingis. That's what I've been seeing lately. Is Porzingis and that kind of talk?
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah,
but hey, we'll see.
Kemba to Dallas.
Oh,
a Luka-less Dallas. A Luka-less Dallas. Hey,
I mean, hey, okay. I mean, we don't know yet. maybe that makes him stay. I mean, if OKC wants to get rid of Kemba, you know, I think Kemba would be a great fit in Miami. He's definitely a Heat culture guy.
As is everyone.
It's like an ad read, basically. Just saying it over and over again for every single player.
Oh,
it's a template,
man.
Right there.
but realistically, like, I would assume they're going to trade them. I don't know what they're going to do with them. I just feel bad. Just quick take. I don't know what it is with Boston, but I feel like maybe their training staff and their medical staff is not the best in the league. I mean, look at how they handled Isaiah Thomas. And that whole situation where they basically kind of screwed him over for like the next 3 years of his life after he had like a crazy, you know, MVP caliber season. And then he gets injured. And then I don't know what they were doing, but he was definitely a shell of himself afterwards. It was kind of the same thing with Kemba. Kemba can never fully get healthy. I don't know exactly what it is. It makes me wonder, like, if he was on a different team, you know, would the outcome have been the same? Would have it been different? Would he have been healthier? I don't know. I just know that the track record for the Boston Celtics training staff and medical staff, I don't think it's all that cracked up to be. But that's just my opinion. The other breaking news, you know, that hit yesterday, I want to get your guys' take on this. Lawrence, the Pelicans have been unable to make Zion and his family healthy. Their coach just quit. What did I say?
He said healthy.
Oh, healthy. Happy.
Happy,
sorry.
Happy, yeah.
Thank you. They've been unable to make Zion and his family happy. They're saying that they haven't put the right pieces around him. You know, their coach just left. What's your take on the whole Zion and New Orleans situation?
See, I mean, I feel like New Orleans has really done as much as they can They don't have as much cap space as these, you know, other bigger teams, right? I mean, they got a Steven Adams to pair along Zion Williamson. They have Lonzo there, Ingram, Hart. I mean, I know these aren't like, you know, star players, but like it's their pieces, you know, that Lonzo Ball and Zion, they had that chemistry going. They had potential to make the playoffs. They didn't jump on that opportunity. So, right. I mean, I can kind of see where they're coming from. Like Zion's playing his heart out, like the numbers he was putting up this year. I guess it really just means that like no one really likes New Orleans. Nobody wants to stay there. But I mean, they got to do what's best for them. I know Zion was saying he likes playing in the Garden and would love to play for the Knicks. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, by all means, New Orleans, keep making him unhappy and push him up here.
I'll say two things. One, it's only a second year there. It's just been 2 years. Like, and he was drafted there, you know, like you can't really say that kind of thing with just him being there for just 2 years. If it's like five or 10, like, yeah, I understand. Like you're doing something wrong.
I agree.
And then number two is like, it kind of lines up with what JJ said in his podcast about the front office being like kind of dishonest, not being that credible and stuff. So like, like Lauren said, it's probably a tough franchise to be a part of or to, you know, to play for. They're not really doing everything right or doing the players right. Like, you know, so, but I mean, yeah, it's just 2 years. That's it. Like, calm down.
Right.
You know, it's of course, my first initial reaction when I saw this was, I'm like, first of all, this is only your second year. Last year doesn't even really count because number one, you were injured for more than half the year and there was a pandemic. So like, I don't understand how or why. And to make the argument like, oh, they're not putting the right pieces around him. It's only year two.
Yep.
You were playing alongside Brandon Ingram, who at one point in time was a candidate for most improved player. There was that stretch where he was balling out. I'm like, and you're playing alongside Lonzo, who we've seen the Lonzo-Zion connection. It's a beautiful thing to watch. It's like poetry in motion. The connection that those two have, I'm like, I was kind of like, Lawrence mentioned it. Zion said he loves playing in MSG. I think his family is really pushing him to go to New York. So they're trying to pull up everything they can to try to get him. It's kind of like the James Harden situation where you force your way out of a situation. Maybe they're trying to get Zion to force his way out of this situation so that he could go play with his boy, RJ Barrett, in, you know, the Mecca of basketball and be the king of New York. Because if he goes to New York, he doesn't have to step on the court. He'll officially be the king of New York. Which would be amazing for New York fans, amazing for Zion. But at the same time, I'm like, bro, this is year two. Like, you can't be calling shots like this. Like, you haven't even established yourself in the NBA yet. You know, you're not a LeBron James. You're not a James Harden. You're not that level yet. And it's interesting that you brought up that point about the front office. I completely forgot about that. Because there's two sides to every story, so maybe there's something there where, you know, they just don't like how the organization is being run. It's kind of sus that, you know, in the span of 2 years, you go through two coaches. One of them just flat out quits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have talent. Like, you have the potential to make it to the playoffs, and yet he just flat out quits. So I think that's very interesting. I think that's – I don't know. And I don't know if it'll happen because didn't JJ want to go to New York, but they ended up sending him to Dallas?
Yeah, to Brooklyn because he lives there. Yeah.
So, I mean, if Zion's trying to go to New York, they might send him to, like, I don't know.
Although I'm glad because, you know, they are a super team. That would have been added more to the super team. So thank God they didn't send him to Brooklyn. Thank God. But
thank goodness. Yeah. 100%. I agree. Thank goodness. Some of the other top stories this week. The first one I wanted to bring up was they announced the Rookie of the Year, which was weird to me. I don't know about you guys, but I always thought, like, you know, MVP was the absolute last one to be announced because, like, that's the most valuable player. So it was weird to me that Rookie of the Year came, like, a week and a half later. But shout-outs to your boy, Nat, LaMelo Ball, winning Rookie of the Year.
I think they announced it early, the MVP award, because – they're about to get swept. They don't want to do it afterwards.
Oh yeah.
So good point. maybe they just did it before. Yeah, yeah. But yeah,
fair.
Good point.
LaMelo Ball, man. I said it in the beginning. Shout out James Wiseman for getting hurt. If he didn't get hurt, he might have won it. So yeah.
I don't think so. I was wrong about that one. I had James Wiseman, but I was definitely wrong. Mm-hmm. Lawrence, did you think it should have been LaMelo? Did you have another pick?
I mean, I think it was like unanimous. Like, it should have been LaMelo Ball. Like, he balled out all year. Heck, if he wasn't injured, imagine what else he could have done. But I mean, yeah, I was fine with
that. Here's the argument for Anthony Edwards, right? Yeah, he had a slow start to the season. The beginning of the season, he was coming off the bench. When he made the starting rotation, that's when he started to produce. I think he led the rookies for most 20-point games, something along those lines. And on top of that, he played the entire season.
Yes.
Whereas LaMelo missed some time. If, you know, like there was that debate between Jokic and Embiid, it would have been Embiid, but he missed a significant time. So Jokic got it. I think the same argument can be made for Rookie of the Year. But, I mean, you know, social media just loves LaMelo Ball, you know.
But it's like, who made the playoffs too, right? Who made their team better?
Very true.
Good point.
Good point. Good point,
Lawrence.
Yep. Good point. That was the argument I had for LaMelo. Like, yeah, Anthony Edwards had all these, you know, stats, highlights, stuff like that. But their team didn't make it anywhere near the playoffs.
Right.
Bottom of the barrel. The next thing I wanted to get into is all NBA first, second, third team. And then I have a question for you guys after. So for people who don't know, all NBA first team, we have Steph Curry, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, Kawhi Leonard. For you guys, is that list, is that that five? Is that good? Would you make any changes to that five?
No, I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I think it's a solid five. Here's second team, all NBA second team: Dame Lillard, Julius Randle, Chris Paul, Joel Embiid, LeBron James.
I think they got it right.
I had LeBron going third team because he missed so much time. Okay. But by the way, it's a good you know, second five. I like it.
So if LeBron would have been third team, who would you had in second team? Let me read third team first and then get your take on who you would put there instead. So all NBA third team, you have Rudy Gobert, Jimmy Butler, Paul George, Bradley Beal, Kyrie Irving. Who would you have put in place of LeBron James in that?
If you had I would have switched LeBron and Jimmy. And then I had Westbrook going third team, not Kyrie. And then I had Bam instead of Gobert, but that's just me.
See, I would have switched Bradley Beal with LeBron.
Oh, okay.
I would have kept forwards, Jimmy,
right?
Third team.
No, but he's a guard, right?
Yeah, he's a guard.
He's a guard. Oh, yeah, so it would have to be a forward.
Yeah.
True. Oh, man, that's tough. But for third team, Lawrence, is there anybody that you would switch out?
Yeah, I would put Westbrook in there.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know if I would.
Got snubbed.
He did get snubbed.
In replace Booker, of Donovan Kyrie? Mitchell.
See, I mean, like, Kyrie's tough for me, but I mean, yeah, I think Westbrook did have the overall better season than Kyrie. That might be a result of Kyrie playing with two other superstars, but heck, I think stats-wise, Westbrook had a better year than Kyrie.
Also, I mean, Kyrie missed, like you said, he missed a lot of time. So here's some snubs, right? We mentioned Donovan Mitchell. We mentioned Westbrook. Devin Booker, D-Book.
KD.
I think KD missed way too much time.
You think so?
Way too much time.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, out of those three, I mean, those are all guards. So I'm like, I would definitely switch out Kyrie because I feel like he missed a lot of time. He missed games here and there.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal's a tough one because he did put up crazy numbers, but Westbrook averaged a triple-double.
Mm-hmm.
And passed Oscar Robertson on the all-time list.
You know what I think it is, though?
True.
You know what I think it is? I think it's because Bradley Beal got snubbed last year, and he was extremely deserving of it last year because he had nobody on his team. He was averaging like 30-something points a game.
Mm.
So this year he averaged, I mean, he was in the battle for scoring champion. So I feel like maybe that's partially why they gave it to him over Westbrook. Maybe Westbrook had too slow of a start to the season.
No, see, that's a good touch, Bradley Beal. But Kyrie and Gobert, I'm like, I don't know about that, you know?
Yeah. So you would switch out Gobert with Bam Adebayo.
I would, yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's any other center that I would switch out.
Not really come to mind, honestly.
Porzingis?
I think that's a good one. Porzingis. Let me miss this 8-foot jumper real quick. In front of the rim.
When I'm already 7 feet. And they complained.
Yeah. And they complained that I don't get star treatment.
How do you guys feel about Jokic making first team instead of Embiid? And Giannis making it first team instead of Randall?
I think it's fitting only because for Jokic, he played more games. I think that does play a major role.
Yeah.
And I think his numbers overall were slightly better in like all categories. Giannis over Julius Randle.
Because I remember going first team.
That's, Randle.
I did, yeah. Because it was a monster year for him, you know, and he played all the games, didn't he?
That's very true.
Yeah, but he's not better than Giannis.
Yeah, Giannis is a choke artist. All right. Sorry.
We'll get to that. Yeah, I don't know if I would put Randle over Giannis, only because, like, I think with the knock against Giannis is he's been back-to-back MVP. He's putting up very similar numbers this year compared to the last 2 years, so I think people are just tired of hearing about Giannis. But, yeah. I mean, he's still putting up crazy numbers, so I think, again, all props to Julius Randle. I think it's his first time All-NBA selection. You know, first, second, or third. So, I mean, props to him. Much deserved. But I don't think I would put him above... I don't think I would put him above Giannis. My question, real quick. Would it make sense to you to switch out Chris Paul with Devin Booker? Or is Chris Paul more deserving of that selection?
I think Chris Paul is more deserving, in my opinion.
I'd have to agree. It's tough, but okay. I'd agree.
Just wondering.
You thought Devin Booker was going to be. you thought, right? Nah, Devin Booker? Okay.
No, it's just, Chris Paul meant more to his team. Completely turned the franchise around, I think.
Yeah.
Put up crazy numbers for a 36-year-old guy, 36-year-old point guard, no less. I'll give it to him. Okay, what about defense? First and second team, all defense. So first team, you have Rudy Gobert. Ben Simmons, Draymond Green, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Drew Holiday.
Why do you shake your head like that when you say Giannis?
Bro, okay, let me just say this real quick. I was watching the game last night and previous nights. Dog, you were at one point in time, you were last year's Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Number one, how do you get cooked by KD? I understand it's KD. Okay. By all means, you're going to get cooked a few times. But then, there's time, bro, Joe Harris drove on him twice last night.
Yes.
All the way. I'm like, dog, you're 7 feet tall. Joe Harris is like, what, 6'6? 6'5? Come on, bro. Like, mad people were scoring on him last night in the paint. I'm like, you're the reigning Defensive Player of the Year. Come on, man. That's first team. Second team, Bam Adebayo. Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, Matisse Thybulle, Kawhi Leonard. Would you make any changes to either of those lists?
Yes, I would. I wanted Matisse on first team. I don't know why. Like, he's just a really good defender. Maybe over Giannis? Mm-hmm. It's probably the most logical switch, I would say.
I would do that. My.
Giannis hate all day today.
No, but who would you switch out for Matisse Thybulle from that first team?
I would switch out Jrue Holiday.
Oh, that's a hot take. That's a hot take.
See, I thought
he had a guard defender in the league.
I was going to switch Jimmy with Draymond, but I think Draymond did more this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fine with Jimmy being second team.
Yeah.
I was surprised with Kawhi being second team, but then again, he's not out there guarding like the best player on the opposing team. I mean, we've seen that. Spurts throughout the playoffs right now. Yeah, I would probably switch out Jrue Holiday. But I think everything else, aside from Jrue Holiday and Giannis, I think looks pretty good. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Are we just being Giannis haters right now?
It makes sense.
Y'all are. Team makes list.
Oh, man. So let's move right into our hot takes. I wanted to get into playoffs. I guess we'll go series by series, starting with probably the most intense, the most intriguing, the most hard-fought. Let's start with Suns-Nuggets. Suns-Nuggets.
Do we have to?
Clean sweep, baby.
I didn't even watch the series. Like, it was just over.
Oh, my.
Clean sweep. So this is the reason why I brought this one up first. Aside from Steve Nash, I agree with Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons said this on his podcast. Outside of Steve Nash, I think Chris Paul has been the unluckiest player in NBA history in terms of playoffs. Because when he was in New Orleans, they got, I think, no further than the second round. He got traded to LA. I think they made it to the conference finals, but they would lose to Steph Curry and the Warriors. Gets traded to Houston. Yes, due to injury. And then in Houston, same thing, that hamstring. They were one game away from making it to the NBA finals. Away.
Yep.
But the hamstring, the hamstring did it in for him. And then now they make it to the Western Conference finals. They sweep, so they got plenty of rest. They're getting plenty of rest. But he has COVID.
They'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Also, what do y'all think about that? That CP3 can't play and LeBron could.
No, but I think LeBron didn't get COVID though. But Chris Paul did.
Oh, he actually has COVID?
Yeah, he actually has it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's different.
Originally, it was the protocols, but then it came out that he has it. Even though he got the vaccine back in February. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he's out for at least 2 weeks, at least, which is not as bad because I mean they're waiting for their opponent, whoever is going to the winner of Clippers and Jazz. Right, and Clippers. I don't know if that series goes seven games, that's more more time for them, But it's just unfortunate. I just feel so bad for Chris Paul. He completely turned this franchise around. Been playing probably the best basketball over the last couple of years. You know, you saw it in the closeout game, especially against the Nuggets. He was unstoppable. He inside out, seeing the floor, homie was going off. It'll suck if whoever they play next, he has to miss the first two games. Granted, they're home games, right? So that's an advantage. But I mean, you're talking having Cameron Payne,
you have Devin over. Booker. He can get you 40.
I understand.
He can get you 40 at night.
I understand. I get it. But you need that. Yes, he can run the offense, but you know darn well whoever they're going to face. Let's say, for example, is the Clippers. You know darn well they're going to throw Kawhi. They're going to throw PG at Devin Booker.
Kawhi is out for the rest of the playoffs. Oh,
very true. Okay, true. Very true.
Yeah. And plus, you have Spider not playing tonight because of his ankle. So, I mean, Clippers are going to win tonight. Sorry.
Is it official that he's not playing tonight?
I think it's like ankle soreness. So he's like questionable, I think. Something like that. But his right ankle is sore. He's going to play. Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, jeez. Okay, yeah. That is the heart and soul.
He's going to play. It's an elimination game. You have to force it to game seven.
That's true.
And if I'm not mistaken, they're playing in LA.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe so. So that he would have to play in order for it to go to a game seven. Speaking of which, let's move on to that series. I don't know about you guys, but were you guys as shocked as I was in the last game that the Clippers won without Kawhi?
Paul George went off, man. Yeah.
I was playoff P showed up, man. Like,
stop.
Indiana P.
Finally.
Pacers P.
No, honestly.
Good Lord.
Pacers P.
Pacers P.
Crazy.
I woke up because I didn't watch the game. I woke up the next day expecting like, oh, Jazz up 3-2. I'm like, what the hell is this? Clippers up? Yes. Like, what the? And then, I'm like, they didn't have Kawhi.
Reggie Jackson?
Paul George.
Who would have thought this guy
Reggie
was going to step
Jackson.
Up? Who would have thought?
Reggie Jackson. Bobby Shmurda showed up, man. Like,
yeah, oh my gosh.
With the goggles, man. With the goggles.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. different Reggie Jackson from about a week ago.
He's got the Iron Man goggles. Can see the right play all the time and see what's open. Yeah.
Yeah.
Iron Man goggles.
Yeah, he has Jarvis in there with him, telling him what to do.
Jeez.
Yep.
Yeah, that completely surprised me. Okay, so let's say they're playing LA tonight. No Kawhi. Do you think Paul George, you get the same effort and output as, you know, from Paul George from the last game and Reggie Jackson? Or do you think there's going to be a fall off? Like, that's what concerns me is which Paul George are you going to get tonight? What's your opinion?
Paul George has momentum right now. He's carrying that from game five. And I'm telling you, like he just acts different. I think when there's no Kawhi there, like he wants that challenge of being the one guy to do it all. But I think they won because of their role players, Marcus Morris, Reggie Jackson, Batum. So it's mainly they're the key rather than Paul George, because he's going to probably give you 30 easily. So, I mean, yeah, it's up to those role players. How about you, Lawrence?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like he's running that momentum. I think he has confidence putting up a game like that away without Kawhi Leonard, in a must-win game. Now he's going home. He's going to have the home crowd behind him. I think he's going to be just fine. Hopefully, you know, we might get pandemic P back. But I definitely agree with you with the role players. Marcus Morris played a huge, huge role in that game.
Also, their home court is trash, by the way. Do you see the cardboard cutouts of the fans on the other side?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you have, you know, Utah Jazz, like, full packed stadium, like, just constant noise.
Rocking.
And they lost. That's what confuses me.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I was so mad. So I'm assuming both of you have Clippers winning tonight. They're going to close out the series.
Yes, unfortunately.
If Spider doesn't play, then yes.
He is questionable. Okay, he is questionable. So
he's gonna
play. And Mike Conley too. Both of them are questionable. So we'll see.
If Donovan Mitchell plays, Lawrence, who do you have winning?
The Jazz tonight, but I think the Clippers will eventually win.
I'm going Jazz. God. I think Donovan Mitchell plays even at 70%, 60%, whatever percent he's at. Just him being there. I mean, we saw what James Harden did in game five, where, you know, he was just a decoy. We might see that from Donovan Mitchell tonight. I don't think you're going to get the same contribution from your role players, you know, for LA. I don't think Marcus Morris is going to go off. I don't think Reggie Jackson is going to go off for 27. Like, Nick Batum, like, I think that's just like an anomaly. The other thing is, I want Mike Conley to come back. Like, if Mike Conley comes back, this series would have been over, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I have Jazz winning. Both of you have Clippers winning. They play tonight. Let's see who's right.
Is tonight the Bogdan Bogdanovich game or what?
I think so. Let's go Bogdan.
Yeah, that's your second guy at the Jazz. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Dang.
You're going to see scoring from Bogdanovich, and you're going to see clutch shooting from Joe Ingles. That's my take.
Okay.
That's my
take. Yikes.
Yeah. And I think Jordan Clarkson finds a way to unleash.
Yes, I was going to say that.
He's going to be the X factor.
We'll see.
So that covers...
All right,
covers the Western Conference.
Hawks, Sixers.
Let's go to Eastern Conference. Let's first start with let's go Bucks Nets first.
Please.
All right, fine.
Bucks Nets. Or do you guys want to save that one for last? Let's save it for last.
Are you sure? All right.
Yeah, let's save it for last. We'll go Hawks Sixers. I've been joking, but with some truth to it, saying that the Hawks are gonna beat the Sixers back to back games. How do you blow a lead? Sixers, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Lou Will is the answer, man. He went off in that last game. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just preempt this with Wednesday night, the Sixers were up by 26 points. 26 points with a whole quarter and a half to go. And they still lost. They lost by 3. Nat, to you and your opinion.
Hate to see it.
Did the Hawks win this one or did the Sixers lose it?
First of all, I hate Philly, so I actually love to see it. But truly, the Sixers lost this game more than the Hawks won it. You know, with that kind of lead, you know, it's one thing if you're the Bucks and have a 17-point lead, that's kind of a small lead. But 26 is a lot of points. It's like almost 30. So, like, yeah. It's a comfortable cushion for you, and yet you still blew it for some reason.
Yeah.
Number of reasons, number one, mm-hmm. Ben Simmons, heck of Ben, liability, you know, on all fronts.
Yeah.
Two, Embiid gets tired easily. Again, like, we saw this coming. And then number three mm-hmm. is just the Hawks just don't want to give up. Like they're determined to win at you know, whatever it takes. And then, you know, the biggest stat of the night was if only two of your players score in the second half, you're going to lose that game. like Embiid and Seth Curry only scored in the second half of the team. Like the rest of them couldn't make shots. They were the only ones. Yep. You're going to lose that game for sure. But, but man, it might be Hawks in six. It might like it's crazy. It's a real possibility. We're going to see Hawks in the conference finals. Lawrence, I'm sorry. Like I doubted you and your pick, but now I have to concede.
I know, Lawrence.
I have to concede it and say, yeah. All right, Lawrence, go off, man. Go off. What do you say? Like, come on. What do you say?
Yeah, I'm sorry. What did you say? Hawks in what number? What number was that?
In six.
I can recall a text from Mr. Berberabe himself saying, "Oh, congrats! Now your Hawks will be losing in six instead of five. Here we are. Hawks will be winning in six."
You're exposing confidential information right there. Whoa. No, okay.
We're both clowning on the Hawks. It's like, oh, this series is over. It's like, yep, over? Yep. What the?
I was.
Yeah. I completely agree. Like, I myself was surprised that the Hawks came back. I was watching the game. It's like, I'm ready to turn this off. And then, like, I'm on my phone and I hear, the cheering from the crowd and just like, oh, wait, like I can keep watching this. But I completely agree that the Sixers lost the game when, you know, two players. I mean, yeah, Embiid and Seth Curry score all your points. Like, yes, you're going to lose. And like, what do you call it? I hate that this team has been, you know, I guess promoted for their defensive prowess this year. And yet they blow the 26-point lead. Like, that's tough. But heck, so, props to the Hawks. I'm ready.
A couple things for me. In regards to their defense, I saw one play. You have Matisse Thybulle on Trae Young. Trae Young is literally just walking the ball up the court, does just like a quick like left to right, and Matisse Thybulle's left in the dust. I'm like, dog, you're second team all NBA defense. Mm-hmm. What happened?
It was a good fake.
And nobody's at the rim to help him. I'm like, what's going on? Like, what? Man, it was just so bad. My other takeaway, because I didn't watch the game, but my other takeaway was don't trust social media. Because social media, I was like on social media real quick. I was on Instagram and it's like, you know, Seth Curry going off and it's him coming off a pick and he's at the top of the key. He launches a three, it goes in. And like minutes before, I was looking at the score. And I'm like, oh, they're up by almost 30. Like they got this. Seth Curry's going off. And then freaking like I look not too much longer, and I'm like, what the heck? Like the Hawks are up now. Like what just happened? Mm-hmm. What just happened? How do you blow man, I was at a loss for words. I feel like this happens and can only happen. No, I won't say only happen, but this happens to Doc Rivers a lot. I don't know what it is. I don't know what you're instilling in your team, the mindset that they have. As Nat shows a picture of Joel Embiid crying. Cry face.
Don't trust him. Like
They completely let the foot off the gas. They came to a complete, like they hit the brakes is what they did essentially. When you blow a 26-point lead, I know like you're poking fun at Joel Embiid. Homie's playing on a torn MCL.
He missed both free throws. He missed both.
He missed clutch
at the end of the game.
He missed clutch. But see, here's my thing. He missed clutch free throws. But look at his body of work up until that point. The only reason why they were up that big was because of him. He dropped to like, what, 39 points or something like that? 37 points? Mm-hmm. Something ridiculous? On a bum knee. On a bum knee. Where the hell is Tobias Harris? 4 points? Come on, bro.
Wait. But you said that Embiid's conditioning was top tier for this season. Granted, yes, he's you know, injuries happen, but
yes,
when you get like 20 plus rebounds in the game, it's hard to believe that you're, you know, handicapped or like, you know, you're not your full self. You know, he just chokes. That's it. He choked.
No, but look at the previous game. He didn't have a crazy scoring output like he did because of the knee was bothering him. On Monday night, Wednesday night, he had a better scoring output, and he also had the double digit rebounds. I think Monday night he only had like 17 or 19 points or something like that.
Let me see here.
Fact check me.
17 points with 21 rebounds. 21 on a hobble.
You're talking about him being in poor condition. You know how hard it is to get 20 rebounds on a bum knee.
No, but like, don't blame the knee, though. Do not blame the knee. He's getting 21 rebounds. Easy right now. What?
What? I'm still going to blame easy. The knee because...
Yes, easy.
I don't know about easy.
I'm still going to blame the knee because the fact is, if he didn't have the knee injury, his scoring output would be even greater.
Actually, no. I'm sorry. We shouldn't blame Embiid. He's carrying this team. We should blame Ben Simmons. All right? We got to adjust Ben Simmons.
100%.
Yes.
Like... This guy is not facilitating well enough. He's not producing on the offensive end. Like, and plus, you know, down the stretch, he's going to get fouled for this foul shots that he can't make. Mm-hmm. So he's the true liability here. Sorry, Embiid. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to lash on that. But
not only Simmons, but freaking Tobias Harris, bro. How you drop 4 points in all those minutes? You drop 4 points. Four.
Yeah.
I think Korkmaz had more points than he did. I don't even know Korkmaz's first name.
I don't know either.
And like, you know, when I saw that stat, right, the first thing that came to my mind, tell me what you guys think. You know, when the Philadelphia 76ers had Jimmy Butler, prior to the whole GM change with Daryl Morey coming in, getting Doc Rivers, the whole nine yards, it was clear that the Philadelphia 76ers chose Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler. My question is, do you think the Sixers are now kicking themselves in the butt for making that decision, for letting Jimmy walk?
Jimmy and James Harden.
Because I'll say this. In what happened Wednesday night, if Jimmy Butler was there, number one, he wouldn't have made the clutch free throws. Number two, I don't think I highly doubt the Hawks would have won if Jimmy Butler was there. Because he would want to guard the best player. He would want to take the clutch shots. Shots. We saw him do it in his 1 year when Philly, you know, that game 7 against the Raptors, the last quarter, it was mainly Jimmy Butler. It was Jimmy Butler and Kawhi going at it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you let Jimmy Butler walk. You keep Tobias Harris. 4 points?
Also, who is Philly's closer? Because think about it. For the Bucks, you have Middleton, I guess. Nets, you have KD. Utah, you have Spida. Phoenix, you have Devin Booker. Like, who is their closer? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like,
you got no one in the clutch to help you out.
In Miami, Jimmy, everybody knows Jimmy's the closer. Everybody knows. Either he's going to make the shot or he's going to draw the foul to make the clutch free throws.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine Jimmy on Philly. Obviously, he's the go-to closer.
Yep.
But that's just not, at the time, that's not how the organization was run. We heard, I don't know if you guys heard his interview with JJ Redick on JJ Redick's podcast about it. Did you guys hear that? Okay. So the main reason why Jimmy wanted to leave, there's two reasons. Number one, I guess he overheard a conversation where like they were talking about whether or not they wanted to keep Jimmy. And somebody had asked, you know, management, you know, can you keep Jimmy in check? Can you keep him in check? And Jimmy Butler's like, I'm a grown ass man. What do you mean keep me in check? Like, he's like, you know, I don't need somebody to watch over me. Like, I know what I'm doing. Like, he's not some type of liability. We see it in Miami. He's reliable. He's dependable.
Yeah.
And then the other, go ahead, Lawrence.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is, to be fair, like, this was right after that Minnesota debacle.
Yes.
Remember where like the screaming match he had with Karl Anthony Towns and all those guys there. So I mean, like, I understand that.
Everybody's so quick to judge, but people don't understand or realize the reason why is because he saw that those two guys in Minnesota weren't performing to their ability, and all Jimmy wants to do is win. The other reason why he left, and I'm paraphrasing here, so I thought it was a really interesting story. It was after a game. I think it was a game that they lost. They have film study, right? They watch film. In the room was a couple of the film guys, the head coach at the time. Who was their coach before Doc Rivers?
Nobody liked him.
Yes, Brett Brown. Brett Brown is in there. J.J. Redick, Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid. Basically the top four players of the team. They're all in there. They're watching film. Jimmy Butler says, they sit down, they turn on the screen, the room is dark. All they're doing, somebody's sitting there with the clicker, they press click, they watch something. They go to the next, press click, they watch something. Go to the next, press click, they watch something. Okay, guys, let's go out there and finish up our practice. Not a single word was said during that film study. Not a single word. So they come out of the film study. Jimmy Butler pulls J.J. Redick aside. He's like, Jay, yo, what the hell was that? Like, what was the point of that? What was the benefit of sitting through that? Mm-hmm. Nobody said a damn word.
Yeah.
And then finally, like a couple weeks later, they're doing the same thing. They're watching like film and nobody's saying something. Jimmy didn't want to say something in the beginning because he's the new guy. He doesn't want to ruffle feathers, especially what happened in Minnesota. The second time he does it, he finally says something about Brett Brown wanted to run a play. And this play was designed for, I think it was for Jimmy. But Jimmy saw that there was a better opportunity to get other guys involved where they would be open. So Jimmy made that suggestion. And Jimmy said, oh, some of us believe that this would be a better solution. And Brett Brown said, who said this? And Jimmy didn't say any names, but he looked over at the person who he was talking to about it. I forgot who. I think it was TJ McConnell. And that kind of started a rift between coaching and some of the players. Because it's like, oh, players are talking behind our back. They think they know better. Brett Brown was like, no, we're doing this. And Jimmy's like, all right, you know, I'm just trying to put in my two cents, thinking what's best. And like to him, the organization and him, they were just clashing. Like it wasn't – Jimmy didn't really do anything wrong. He just felt like the organization was going nowhere. How you go to a film study and not say a single word? How do you – as a coach, do you listen to a player's suggestion and not take it into consideration? That's why I think he flourished in Miami, because Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley, they're going to listen to Jimmy. They know that he's their star. They want his input.
Yeah.
And they're going to go back and forth. They're going to feed off each other. If Spo's like, no, I don't think that's right. I think we're going to do this. This is why. Jimmy's like, okay, hey, you know, at least you're talking to me about it. At least you're hearing me out. So I feel like at the time it was an organizational like dysfunction thing with Philly. Now under Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers, I think it's definitely better than what it was. But the history of Doc Rivers and letting, you know, series get out of hand, I really do think this series is in jeopardy. I really do think the Hawks can win. So my question to you guys is, do you think the Hawks win this series?
I'm going to stick with my Philly pick. I'm going to stick with it. That was my initial gut feeling. So I'm gonna stick with Philly in seven, probably, obviously. So, how about you, Lawrence?
Going back to the A, baby.
Hey.
We're gonna fly. Yeah, I'm going with the Hawks.
There I know. I said Philly. I had Philly to come out of the East.
You did. Oh,
I did. God. What bothers me is there was, especially early on in the last game, Joel Embiid dunked on Clint Capella. And both Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid were like in Clint's face the whole time going back down court, like flexing on him, like, like, and then you end up losing by three. I'm like, if you bring that same intensity, you keep that same intensity throughout the whole game, they're going to be fine. I think they could, I still think they're going to win it. I still think they can pull it off, but they got to make some serious changes because the Hawks are no joke, man. I'm going to give credit where credit is due. The Hawks are scary. I did not believe in them. I'll be the first one to admit it. I thought it was just a fluky team that made it to the playoffs. But, man, they are legit. Bill Simmons is – he truly is like a basketball god because he called it. He said the Hawks were going to be the dark horse of this playoff. So, enough of the Philly side. What do you guys think about the Atlanta Hawks side? What do you like? What don't you like? What do you think? Lawrence, that's your home team. Talk to us about Atlanta. What do you like?
I mean, I like the grit in Trey. I love the savviness of Bogey. I mean, I think the team is just well put together. They got depth. They got, I mean, they hit their shots when they need to. Obviously, I mean, I think they start out slow, and that's their problem. Imagine if they don't start out slow. Right.
Yep, right.
What they scored, like, 40 in the first half?
Yeah.
And then they had that offensive output. I mean, I didn't think they were going to hit triple digits, and here they were. I mean, they came back. So, I mean, just imagine this team is scary offensively. Defensively, they got to show up a little more, but they got all the pieces. And you were knocking John Collins, Nat. I mean, like,
I was.
If he can play, I mean, I think he's their X factor, right? Like,
I agree.
He's their lagging piece. I mean, Kevin Huerter, I mean, I love him coming off the bench. Like, he's a sharpshooter. Like, again, I said Bogey. Clint Capella is a force. Man, I love the team. I love the team.
I'll say one thing, by the way.
Go for it.
In game five, I'm sorry, yeah, game five, Huerter and Bogdanović combined for 0-for-8 from three. Now, can you imagine? And 1-by-3. So can you imagine if they actually were on point for game six?
Right.
It might be a 20-point win or something. And also, I like, you didn't mention Lawrence, but Okongwu, when he guards Embiid.
Yes.
He's smaller, granted, but like he puts up a fight, a good fight against Embiid. So like I think they have good depth, as you said. But I don't know. It's hard to believe. I'm sorry, not to believe in the star power in Philly. So I'm going to lean towards Philly for now, but Hawks might be a genuinely like good chance of winning the series for sure.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I was laughing last time because you were completely trashing John Collins. Uh-huh. I like John Collins even before they got Clint Capella. I thought he was going to be like the future for the Hawks because he was this stretch four guy that could shoot, you know, who had like a shot from outside. I think he would be a great fit because I know he didn't sign his extension. So I think he might opt out of his contract this season. I'm not entirely sure. I will say I think he would be a great fit in Miami. Definitely a Heat culture guy. What I like is that he and Trae Young have mended their ways, right? There was that – they had that beef between each other. I like that they worked that out. Kevin Huerter, what do they call him? Red Velvet. I knew Red Velvet was going to be something special when D Wade showed much love to him. I think D Wade's final season, he did a jersey swap. He wanted to swap with Kevin Huerter. Out of all the players, he wanted to swap with Kevin Huerter.
Yep.
Kevin Huerter looked up to D Wade. That's why Kevin Huerter wears number 3. He was a big fan of D Wade. So much respect to Kevin Huerter. I said it last time, Trae Young, this is absolutely like his coming out party. I love it. I love to see the villain. I love to see him just going off. Even though they're down big, he still has that confidence. Like, I got this. I kind of like that about him. Great overall vision. I think he had like double digit assists too. There was that one game. He had like 18 assists.
Yeah.
This will kind of be my segue into the next series, but to you guys, how much do you think the Bucks are kicking themselves that they don't have Bojan Bogdanović?
Big time.
Big time. For
Big
sure.
Time.
Let's move on to that series. Nets Bucks.
Ooh.
Here we go. So Tuesday night, Bucks are up. They were up by 17. KD had probably one of the games of his career. Everybody was saying like this was his masterpiece, like this was his greatest game he's ever played. I thought he had a couple of those games for the Warriors, but then, you know, people are like, oh, but that's the Warriors, you know, this is his team. I'm like, okay, but you also have Kyrie and Harden. Granted, Kyrie's not playing and Harden was on one leg. But let's talk about that game first where Milwaukee blew the lead. Milwaukee was up big. You already knew KD was going to have one of those nights because he started off hot. Everybody knows James Harden didn't look right. You know, he was coming from that hamstring injury. He played like 40-something minutes, had 5 points.
Mm-hmm. No, I think 3.
KD, oh, 3?
Was it 3? I think so, yeah. Something like that.
1-3. Yeah.
3. And then you have KD who plays literally the entire game.
Yes.
The entire game. And they pull off the comeback victory. Nat, to you, what was your initial reaction watching, reliving that game?
It was insane. Like, everyone was like counting on KD to come through. A lot of like, you know, best player in the world comparisons. Like, if he is the best player in the world, then he has to do this, this, and that. And he did it. Triple double, played the entire game, like, and dropped almost 50 points. It was insane to watch. But that kind of bit them in the butt, because last night's game, I think he was drained, you know, physically tired, and they lost. But then again, you know, game seven is tomorrow, and we'll see what happens. But KD is right now, I have to say it, he is the best player in the playoffs right now. There's no one better than him right now in the playoffs.
I agree. I agree. Lawrence, what's your take from last night's game?
I mean, yeah, last night's game or that?
Oh, sorry, the game before. Yeah, game before. Game five.
I mean, yeah, I mean, props to KD, you know, putting out that masterpiece, almost dropping the 50 piece, just missed that one free throw, and you saw the frustration, heard the frustration in him. But yeah, I mean, that my take on that is that they needed that from KD, and they needed the Bucks to choke, right? They had a 17 point lead going into that, and they just let KD walk all over him. Giannis didn't step up, didn't come up in the clutch. So I think, yes, KD had that one. Like, again, he had that awesome performance, but the Bucks lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
The Nets did not win the game.
That was my next question.
Mm-hmm, if a couple more plays here and there were different, I think the Bucks come away with that win, and we could have been seeing who the Bucks were going to be playing in the conference finals. But again, that didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. It was. But here's my question. What do you think is the reason, or maybe who is the reason,
Giannis,
the Bucks lost that game?
Giannis, next question.
Yeah.
See, I think
he literally dropped the ball. He literally dropped the ball to tie the game.
See, for that play, like, yes, he dropped the ball, but what was Chris Middleton doing? You have the lane. You could go in and draw the foul.
Yes.
You don't have to pass it to Giannis. Take it in. Take it in strong. I don't know what Chris was doing. You don't have to kick it out. Because it was congested there anyway. Like, why are you going to try to get it to Giannis? There's like three people down there.
Yeah.
You have the fast break opportunity. Take it to the rim. That's what confuses me about the NBA now. Because, like, you see it a lot of time in fast break. The first option now is three-point shot or a jumper. And it's like people are getting away from just attacking the rim. See, if he had just attacked the rim, either he would have made the shot, got the and one, or he would have got fouled and gone to the free throw line anyway. With that said, I feel like the person to blame for them losing is Budenholzer.
Yeah.
Go off.
I'm like, dog, like, go off. He's so set in his ways. He refuses to make any type of in-game adjustments. He's always stick to the plan. And like, yeah. Yes, they swept Miami, but I think the only reason why they swept Miami was what they did was they took what they learned from last year and was like, okay, these are the changes we're going to make, and we're going to stick to these changes, and it worked effectively. They've never faced this Brooklyn Nets team before. Look at all the past video. James Harden is coming off a hamstring injury. Homie was playing on one leg, and you can see he had 3 points the whole game. Three points.
Yeah.
Why were you not attacking him on offense? Why were you not getting switches on him? Why were you not having Chris Middleton back him down, take him to the rim? Same thing with Giannis. The one play that you and I were texting back and forth about it, where Giannis is posting up on James Harden and Giannis takes a freaking fall away jumper. Dog, that's not your strength. Like, go at him. Go at him. He has one leg. Yeah, James even waved out the double team.
He waved out the double team.
Like, I'm not going to blame Giannis for that, and I'll get to the reason why in a second. But for coaching, you know that they're down a player. Why not throw double teams at KD? I mean, they did last night, but clearly James Harden, you knew at halftime James Harden was not 100%, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even like the TNT guys, Shaq, Charles, Kenny Smith, like even they knew it. They saw it. They're like, he's not the same player right now. They should be attacking him. And Charles Barkley said it best. I could not put it in better words. He was like, I have the Bucks winning, but they are the dumbest team.
Yes.
And it's true. They play, and that was case in point, was that game right there. Because they could have put it away early, but they let it slip away. They let it slip away. And I blame coaching because there was no type of in-game adjustments. Yep. No type of, let's stop the bleeding here. Let's run this play here. Let's stop this person. Let's double team KD. He's the only one producing for them. At that point, Joe Harris was like, what? Like 1 for 22 for 3-point? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You should have taken full advantage of that. And they did not do that, which is why they lost the game. I blame coaching for that one. I think coaching dropped the ball. I know Giannis literally dropped the ball, but coaching definitely dropped the ball overall. And then like you saw those, you know, I was happy. The reason why I don't blame Giannis, right, for taking that fadeaway jumper, whatever the case is. Here's my take on Giannis. Everybody says Giannis is this generation's Shaq, which is not a bad comparison. I can see it. I don't disagree with it. I think a better comparison is I feel like Giannis is this generation's Dwight Howard. Giannis is who everybody thought Dwight Howard was going to be. In the late 2000s, I'll never forget, they were in the playoffs. You know, Dwight Howard is getting these alley-oop dunks. You know, he's kicking out to three-point shooters. And I'll never forget, the in-game announcer was, you know, Dwight Howard is playing amazing. What's scary is he's only at like 60% of his potential. He's only scratching the surface. And if you think about it, he was dominant inside. He was dominant defensively. He could pass. Mm-hmm. He was athletic. Yes. There's times he could bring the ball up. The only thing he didn't have was a jumper. Giannis is a better dribbler, a better ball handler, a better facilitator, a better passer, perhaps a better defender. His jumper is definitely better than Dwight Howard's. Yeah. Giannis, I feel like, is only at 60-70% of his game. Because if he develops an outside jump shot, if he develops a reliable three-point shot, he will be what everybody thought Dwight Howard was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So I don't fully blame Giannis yet because he's still young. He's still, you know, he's still in the prime of his career. He's still going to learn and develop all these moves. On Harden, he could have, if he had better footwork, he could have done an easy like drop step, dunk it on James Harden. Yeah. Nevertheless, that brings us to last night's game. Completely different. I know, Nat, you said KD looked tired. KD still dropped 32 points.
Well, yeah. When you're the best player in the world, you know, yeah.
Right. One of the heroes for Game 5, Jeff Green, he didn't do as well last night. You know, he only had 5 points. Blake Griffin, you know, he's been quietly put in. I get annoyed with him sometimes, like, because he's a flopper also. Yeah. I digress. Let me move away from that. But how many points? James Harden had 16, which was definitely better than what he did, you know, Game 5. But I feel like the Bucks overall just, I feel like more players stepped up. I feel like Drew Holiday, even though like he didn't have a crazy scoring output, he still had some type of production, more than what he had in Game 5. I mean, he had 21 points. Chris Middleton going off for 38. I think he was, what Nat mentioned anomaly. Earlier, he's their closer. You say anomaly? You think that's it?
I said anomaly. Yeah.
Okay, so moving forward, we've seen, you know... Reggie Miller mentioned it and was like, if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, kind of throw this game away so that we can go back game 7 and win a game 7 in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. You kind of saw it, especially at the beginning of the fourth quarter. The lead was too large. Steve Nash pulls out, you know, James Harden and KD. Yeah. And it was just like garbage basketball after that. But in your opinion, do you think the Brooklyn Nets take Game 7 in Brooklyn, Nat?
Yes. Game 7 KD.
Is it because you're going to be there? Game 7 Giannis? Is that your...
Me, well, it's partially both. But if I had to bet on one person in Game 7, KD or Giannis, I mean, the choice is pretty clear. And plus, you have James Harden. It's KD and Harden versus Giannis and Middleton. I mean, it's... kind of night and day, scoring wise, it's you know, night and day. But overall, it's got to be KD. I'm gonna predict Joe Harris goes off, maybe like five threes or something.
Big
like that.
Joe Harris game.
Yeah. Joe Harris game. Yep.
Yeah.
For sure.
Maybe like 21 off the, you know, 21 points. 18
five
points.
Threes in the first quarter. You're just going to throw it up, you know.
In the first quarter.
In the first quarter. Yep. You laugh now, but watch. Watch that game on
okay,
Saturday.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, now your predictions of late have been very, very bad.
I'm like Nat Barkley. Guarantee.
Yep.
Lors, what's your take? Who do you have winning this one?
I want the Bucks to win, but I can't see KD losing at home game 7. I feel like, you know, Nat kind of pointed to it. He's leaving a little bit in the tank for the dub in game 7.
No, but wait, think about it too. Does KD and James Harden want to lose to Giannis? Like, I don't think they want to lose, you know, that's just too much on their pride and their reputation to lose to Giannis. So
you're acting like Giannis is a bum. Like, he's 2-time MVP.
Did you see James Harden last night? Like, when Giannis was doing his free throw routine, yeah, he was like,
yo! Yeah, James Harden's like, oh my God.
Right.
Like, Giannis like, what?
Did y'all see that? Even the Nets fans, you see them like counting. They're like, 1, 2.
Yeah.
At the free throw line. Yep. I thought that was funny.
But what's wild was Giannis made his free throws.
Yeah.
Yes.
He made them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so both of you have the Nets. I'm gonna go Bucks. Here's why. Here's my reason why. Here's my reason why I have the Bucks winning. So game 5, James Harden goes off for 3 points. Last night he goes off for 16. He played 40 minutes on a bum leg, on a bad hamstring. Yes. Kevin Durant played all 48 minutes on Tuesday. He played 40 last night. And you're talking with one day rest in between games. That's a lot of minutes on KD, who's coming off an Achilles injury. Granted, he did take a lot of time off in the regular season. Mm-hmm. I think that was very smart of the Brooklyn Nets to do to get him ready for this. But still, like I'm not, you know, heaven forbid, I just don't trust, you know, in prior injuries and stuff like that. Because you're talking 88 minutes over the last two games. That's heavy minutes.
Yeah.
That's heavy minutes for somebody like KD. James Harden on a bum leg, you know, playing 80 minutes with 19 points over the last two games. Like, it's, I don't feel like, I'm not expecting James Harden to have like he's going to go off, you know, in Brooklyn. I'm not anticipating it. I feel like the only way Brooklyn wins this game is if Middleton and Holiday don't show up. If neither of them break 18 points, I don't think Bucks are going to win it. But if you get the scoring output they had last night, and I think PJ Tucker had a bad game last night. If you get some contribution from PJ Tucker offensively, I think the Bucks are going to win it. I do. I don't believe in them really, but I have a feeling that they will. I don't. I trust Steve Nash more than I do Budenholzer, so I'll just put that out there.
Yeah.
But I do have the Bucks winning it, so we'll see what happens with that. Before we sign off, is there anything else you guys wanted to add?
Nope.
Nothing for me.
So next episode, Nat, you already know what's going to happen. We're going to have to do an interview at the top of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to ask you what it was like to watch the Brooklyn Nets lose at home to the Milwaukee Bucks.
I'm praying that Beyonce is there. I'm hopefully going to be like behind her. I'm like that area of the arena where like I'm behind the
okay.
Really? Like that side. I mean, like that side. Yeah. So might see Travis Scott. He's been there, you know, the past two games. Mm-hmm. Maybe Beyonce, maybe Jay-Z.
Jay-Z up in there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Get some pictures.
I will. Oh, yeah. I will for sure.
All right.
Get the back of their heads. You know, just.
There we go.
All right. Until then, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for our next podcast. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy. We'll catch you guys next time.
This has been a Fuse Podcast original produced by yours truly, Nat, with music by Johnny C.